This is our culture, Steeler culture. Now, here are your hosts, Rob and Dan, the Steel Twins.
Steelers Nation, welcome back to the channel. We thank you kindly very much for tuning in to the Steeler Culture Podcast, where we break down Pittsburgh Steelers football, presented by our friends over at Prophet X. Thank you kindly for tuning in. More on them momentarily. How are we feeling, guys? It is officially week one. Week one is already under wraps because we had the Eagles and Cowboys last night.
Bro, what a wild start to football, bro.
What a wild end to the game. It was delayed an hour.
It was due to lightning. Then we had to see, I didn't even know Deontay Johnson signed with the Cowboys, man. Like,
wait,
that was kind of wild. Yeah.
Huh?
CeeDee Lamb, bro, in the drop.
Oh. Okay,
Deontay would actually sign with the Cowboys.
Listen, I don't
bro.
Know. Some of these guys find jobs. It's unbelievable. Okay, I see what you did there. Yes.
Yeah, four drops yesterday by CeeDee Lamb.
Yes. Yeah, that was a crazy game. Now, tonight, we have the Chiefs and the Chargers. We're scheduled to go live later tonight around 11 after the game or towards the tail end of the game. Well, you know what? We kind of want to watch football tonight plus the potential return of AJ Lee, just throwing it out there. It's kind of going
to
be
He wants to light it up.
It's going to be a must-see night.
It is. It's going to be an eventful Friday. It already is.
So we're going to be live right now early on to discuss the Jets and Steelers game to preview the week one matchup.
Yes, we are less than 48 hours away from the Steelers week one matchup as they hit the road to MetLife Stadium. A-Rod gets to go back home, so to speak.
That's not maybe a second home.
I guess. He goes back to the Jets Stadium.
He goes to MetLife Stadium. The week one starters from last year for the Steelers and Jets have swapped, and we will see Justin Fields as the Jets starting quarterback.
Well, A-Rod is, of course, the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Should be very interesting. There's a poll in the chat. I already see a lot of you guys giving out your displeasure or your brutal, honest opinion regarding Cameron Hayward.
Which we will talk about. We will dive into what he stated just a little bit ago, actually, with the media.
It's weird because he actually practiced today. He had a rest day yesterday, but he practiced twice this week.
Full participant today, and he has no game designation as of now.
No.
But, you know, his availability is in question.
It is in question, so that's why I put the poll in the chat for you guys. Will Cam Hayward play versus the Jets? Yes or no? So far, 67% of you guys say yes. Yes, he will play. In your guys' opinion, you guys do think he will play. Whether or not he does, to be determined.
Yep, we'll find out Sunday.
Because it's very interesting that Cam and Hayward practices. But
and is a captain again, by the way.
He is a defensive captain alongside TJ Watt. And he still can't commit to playing. Very interesting. And honestly, I'm at the point with Cam Hayward where I don't want to see him in a Steelers jersey ever again. I don't want to see him in a Steelers jersey anymore.
Listen, dude, I mean, I wrote down the notes. I wrote down the quotes. We'll get into it, dude.
We'll get into all that. But before we get into that, man, get you guys' polls in the chat. Let us know how you guys are feeling in the chat. We want to thank you guys for tuning in on YouTube. And, of course, on the Twitter world, the X space. So thank you guys so much for that. Like, comment, subscribe if you guys are new, man. We'll greatly appreciate it. Before we get into it, I want to discuss the sponsor of this video, the sponsor for the entire NFL season. I want to give a huge shout to Prophet X for sponsoring with us for not just week one, but the entirety of the NFL season. Prophet X is America's number one sports prediction market where you can win real money predicting sports in 40 or more states. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports prediction exchange where users play against each other than the house. So instead of playing the house and going up against their odds, you're actually going up against other people that are going for the same odds on the opposite side of what you would bet. Users can accept existing odds posted by the house or other users, but if you don't like the house odds or anything else that's up for grabs, the best part is you can request your own odds so you can get better value, real competition, and win on your own terms. As we are here on ProfitX.co, we got the Chiefs and Chargers tonight. As you see, they got game lines, they got touchdown scores, first half, stats, rush yards, receiving yards. They got all kinds of stuff. They even got a popular page, which at the top of the list is Justin Herbert in total rushing attempts. Which
interesting.
The over is 3.5. Now, that's interesting. As you see here, what number is underneath, that is how many people have placed a wager on that said over or under. So, Rob, how you feeling? Do you think Justin Herbert has more than three carries? Or do you think he doesn't? So you're going to go the over or under here?
I would go the, as far as carries go, I would go the over.
Okay.
I would go the over. You know, I would not be surprised if that pass rush were to get to Herbert and he would have to tuck the ball and run on his own, you know, do what he needs to do with that Chargers offense. I mean, it's a big game already for week one, and it's in Brazil. You know, it's an international game. It's a way to start off the season for the Chargers.
Yeah, that should definitely be a fun game. We're going to look at rushing yards. We got Najee Harris playing tonight. Shout out to Najee.
That was a twin moment.
Steelers leading rusher for the last four seasons, four straight 1,000-yard seasons for Najee. So he'll be the backup to Marion Hampton, but even his rushing yards are over 36.5. I'm actually going to request the under here. No disrespect to Najee. I just think Marion Hampton is going to get a lot of carries. He's going to get a lot of touches. And I don't know exactly if Najee's going to find much success against that Chiefs defensive line. So we're going to request our own odds with Najee Harris's rushing yards here. And let's say we want to put 5 on it at the odds of, you know what, we'll go basic. We're going to go plus 100 so we can win another 5 back. If you guys want to place this, ProfitX.co is the way to go, man. And the great thing about ProfitX is not only do they have profit cash here, they got profit points. That way it gives you the opportunity to play for fun or for real. And like I mentioned, lets you set and request your own odds and play against other users and win real money predicting sports in your own state or in 40 or more states as well, man. So sign up now at ProfitX.co. Use the promo code STEELTWINS to get a 1.5% ProfitX cashback on all plays for the first 30 days, playing on the site up to $200. Sign up now and begin winning real money predicting sports. Terms and conditions apply. Link down in the description box below. Huge shout out to ProfitX for sponsoring us on this video.
Yes, sir.
Now, where do you want to start? You want to start with the game? You want to start with Cam and Hayward?
Honestly, I think we should start with this Cam Hayward situation here. Just get it out of the way because, I mean, it's kind of fresh on the mind of many people, many Steelers fans on social media, and I'm sure in the live chat. Let's just get into this Cameron Hayward situation here.
Yeah, first of all, shout out to Jacob Frederick. He's been a member for 16 months in the chat. He says, yo, boys, Steelers football is officially back. You got that right.
You're right,
and
Jacob.
And the games count. The games count this time
around.
This
is like legitimate football right here. It's real football.
And the swear jar isn't full, but it will be by 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can bet on that.
Yes, you know, we'll be, you know, prepped and prepared with our Mason Rudolph jerseys for the Jets game.
You still going with that?
Dude, you know, I don't break a promise.
Okay, sure.
I don't, man.
That's fair. That's respectable. One jersey I will not be sporting this year is Cameron Hayward.
You're already staying that.
Yes. No, I'm done with Cameron Hayward.
All right.
Let me put it out this way. Even if he plays or doesn't, it's going to be hard for him to win back the Steelers fan base, their trust, or their appreciation for him. Because, listen, I know Steelers fans can get really rattled and they can say a lot of mean stuff to certain players. We've seen it in the past with however many names, right? But we are always giving them the benefit of the doubt. We're always giving them the chance first. And with Cameron Hayward, he's had a Hall of Fame career, in my honest opinion. He's second in sacks, in all-time sacks for the Steelers, behind, of course, T.J. Watt. He's an all-timer. He's a legend in the black and gold. But what he's doing now is really tarnishing his legacy. He's tarnishing his Steeler career to the point that if he doesn't play versus the Jets or doesn't play at all this season because he wants to sit out for a new contract, I'm at the point where if I'm Omar Khan, I'm trading him. Yeah, it would suck for this to be the tail end of his Steeler career, and it would be an awful end to such a legendary run. He's been one of the best defensive linemen in the league for 10-plus years. He's been an all-time Steeler defender ever since coming in, being drafted in the first round. But this end, if it ever comes to an end, like say it comes to them potentially trading him, that's all Cam Hayward's fault. That's all his duty. That's all his job, because he could have just accepted the contract that he signed last year and played through it. But he's not. No, he says he's thinking about his family. Listen, I get Cam Hayward's side. But, bro, you are 36 years old. The market has inflamed by so much.
Just this offseason alone.
It is inflated by so much. And no one on that market is near your age bracket making $20, $25 million. Now, I'll give him this. No one at his age is playing the way he's playing. But even still, how much longer is he going to play? How much more money does he think the Steelers are going to plush out for Cameron Hayward? He's already made $130 million throughout his career. If he was if he knew he was going to be unhappy about his current contract status, he should have asked for a pay raise last year when he signed the contract. Now he's sitting out.
Now, as a matter of fact, earlier this offseason, he stated, you know, when it comes to him making being recognized as an All-Pro, he was going to come back and want a raise. And then, according to him, the Steelers kind of chuckled at that moment. Well, we saw what Hayward did last year. He had an incredible season at 35 years old, was recognized as a first-team All-Pro for his age, which is quite rare nowadays, especially.
Sure.
And, yes, I get, you know, Cam Hayward, he took the deal, and maybe in his eyes, I don't know, I'm trying to see from his point of view, maybe in his eyes he thought, all right, I'll take this deal that you gifted me just so we can get it done out the way so I can play for you guys. That was last year.
Yeah.
And then he thought, you know, like, I'll do a deal with you, now you can do a deal with me, you know, like, in a way to kind of...
I scratch your back, you scratch
mine. Basically, yes, thank you. But Hayward, he's still doing the situation. Let me just start off by exactly what happened at the start of the week with Tomlin during his Tomlin Tuesday.
Yeah.
Tomlin, he was asked about Cameron Hayward and his availability and what he expects from Cam Hayward. Tomlin straight out said that he expects Cam Hayward to play. And not just him, but Terrell Austin later in the week. He said that he anticipates Hayward to play based off of Hayward's participation in practice because he was practicing all week.
Well, not just that, but he's a captain and he's under contract. He signed a new contract just last year.
Now, Wednesday, he practiced. Thursday, he did not, which kind of, you know, stirred the pot a little bit. But
it was a rest day.
He was listed as having a rest day, and it's pretty typical of the Steelers to give Hayward a rest day on Thursdays. So, I mean, that's just a typical thing that's going to happen. So it was basically nothing. And today, he was a full participant in practice. And again, he has no game designation as of this right now. He doesn't.
Now, when asked about if he was willing to play, he couldn't commit to a yes or no answer. But what he said, and Rob will speak here, it really says a lot that essentially if he gets paid between now and game time, he's going to play. But if he doesn't, it sounds a lot like he's not going to play.
Now, he did mention, Hayward did. Hayward mentioned that there has been communication between his team and the Steelers. So they're still going back and forth with negotiations and their talks on a contract, a rework contract. He said that the process has been dragged on and that he returned to practice back in August just to get ready for the season and to make sure that he's ready to play. Hayward was then asked about his availability for Sunday's game versus the Jets if he doesn't play and if a deal isn't reached. This was what Hayward said, and I quote, "I don't want to have to think about that. I'd like to think cooler heads prevail and we move forward. But if it does get to that point, we'll cross that bridge when we get there." Now, as far as Hayward's status for Sunday, to kind of clarify about it, he was asked on, when it comes to the matter of the situation, if a deal gets done, then he's playing, or if it doesn't get done, then he won't play.
Right.
Hayward said, "I wish I had a straight answer for you right now. All I can tell you is I've had to have a lot of tough conversations with my family." So he didn't say yes, but he didn't say no. He didn't exactly really clarify. It's just a matter of, it's still up in the air. He's still deciding. He's still having talks with his family. He's still in this situation with the Steelers.
He wants a new contract, and he mentioned he doesn't think it's greedy. It's just the way of the business nowadays. He's trying to set himself up and his family up for life after football because he knows he's not going to play much longer. There's not too many years left in him. He's still playing at a great level, but there's not too many years left in him being at his age. So he wants a new contract to set his family up after that. That way, he can sit perfectly fine knowing that he got however much towards the tail end of his career. I get that. But again, we could have done this last year.
Well, this is the exact quote that Hayward said. He said, "You know how I work. You know how I play. It's all that matters. I have to make a decision for my family. This is a business. I cannot play this game forever. And just like I'm maximized on the field, I want to be maximized outside of it. I want to be taken care of in that way. It's not being greedy. It's just the way this game is."
Oh, it's being greedy.
"It's not for long, NFL." He kind of, you know, made a joke about that. "Not for long, NFL. I would tell every guy to maximize their opportunities."
Wow, what great leadership qualities over there from Cameron fucking Hayward, swear jar, with Derek Carmen and Wyatt Black underneath him on the defensive line. What great leadership. What great characteristics to teach the young guys, man. Wow. No, it's being 100% greedy. He's made $130 million over his career. Why does he need more at this stage? He is a captain. He is 36 years old. It's not being disrespectful to Cam Hayward. It's just they've given him what he's earned, and they think they have an understanding, or they thought, that Hayward at this stage is obviously the defensive leader. He's a defensive captain. You're going to play out your contract that we gave you, that we requested you to take. That's what leadership does. That's what captains do, right? At this point, I think the captain C on his jersey should be taken away. I was surprised Chris Boswell wasn't a captain.
I don't know how he's not.
I'd give it to him. I'd give it to Chris Boswell, frankly. I love Cameron Hayward. You know, I'm blessed to say I've seen his entire career. But yeah, what he's doing now, if he misses games, it absolutely tarnishes his legacy.
And it goes back. It goes back to the comment that he made on his show about the Aaron Rodgers situation before A-Rod finally signed. Either you want to be a Pittsburgh Steeler or you don't. I got nothing but appreciation for what Cameron Hayward has done as a Pittsburgh Steeler, repping the black and gold, repping that logo, being a part of the Steeler culture.
Not anymore.
But just like the speech about Steeler culture that Troy put out, the exact quote he said, being a Steeler is to consider others before you consider yourself.
It's in the intro.
It is.
It's in the intro of every live we do.
Hayward's not embodying that. Not anymore. And I get it. He wants to be recognized as one of the top interior defensive linemen in the NFL, which he already is, but pay-wise, he wants to be up there because he's not.
Okay, but
Javon Kinlaw is being paid more than him.
Was Tom Brady ever the highest paid quarterback? According to my recollection, no. He took a pay cut. He didn't always request the highest money at the quarterback market. He took what was offered and helped build the team around him. Everyone else got paid. That's leadership. Hate Tom Brady and the Patriots all you want. They knew what it was about.
Now, Brady, especially at the quarterback position, he put the team first. And that's what Ben did as well in his final season. He took a massive pay cut just to help the team. How much was it that he took a pay cut? Was it like $5
million? $5 million.
$5 million. He took a pay cut. He's like, all right, I hear you. I'll do whatever. And that helped, whoever needs done to help this team.
That helped bring Juju back for that last year. Cameron Hayward, yeah, he's 100% being greedy. He can say it's not being greedy. It is 110% being greedy. And if he does miss the game versus the Jets or any game this year in regards to his contract, the Steelers, in my opinion, should trade him. I would hate that it would have to come to that. But if he says he's going to miss games, okay, well, you're going to miss the rest of the season as a Steeler, and we're going to get something out of you in that regard. That's how I see it. But especially since Derek Carmen is out for this game. He's hurt. And he's still doing this? Like, we don't have the starting guy opposite Hayward, and Hayward's still like, yeah, I'm probably going to sit out. Or he's thinking about sitting out.
He's still
out.
Contemplating it, yeah.
Does he actually play? I honestly don't know.
Tomlin expects it. Terrell Austin anticipates it. I'm sure everybody else along the defense and the defensive coaching system anticipates it. Cameron Hayward, he's really going to have to make that choice in less than 48 hours. But this whole situation, again, I am disappointed in Cam Hayward. I am. It's frustrating to listen to. It's frustrating to just write down the notes, bro.
Yeah, just to listen and read and write down what he said.
Like, I get his point of view, but it's not the right time. Considering that last year you signed a contract extension. You were gifted a contract extension. You said, yes, I'll take it.
Well, it's interesting because when he signed the contract, you know, we all thought, oh, that's Cam Hayward's last contract of his career to make him a Steeler for life. At the time, a year ago from like today or something. It was literally a year and some change ago that he signed the current contract he's under. It was a couple days right before week one versus the Falcons. He signed the contract. It took all offseason, but he finally did it.
Now, who's to say that doesn't happen, say, later tonight, that a rework deal finally gets done and then Hayward does play, or it happens tomorrow before the game and Hayward does play. If it doesn't happen, as a matter of fact, hold on. We've got two
words for Sterling in the chat. Always good to see you. How would you feel if he sits out and we lose? I still wouldn't pay him. Frankly, I still wouldn't pay him. I'm sure if that happens, Hayward, in his opinions, be like, oh, well, I got leverage here. We lost because I didn't play. And he's thinking maybe the Steelers might cave. And ultimately, they might if that's the case. But I still wouldn't do it. I still wouldn't pay him. How much of an increase does he really want?
I don't know. I don't know. But if a deal doesn't get done on Sunday, does the deal ever get done? Because keep in mind, the Steelers don't usually handle contracts during the season. Not even with insensitives.
Yeah.
They rarely do it. Hayward said himself, he acknowledges that the Steelers don't do it. Just based off their president, they don't do it.
Yeah. And like I mentioned, we thought that the contract he signed literally like a year ago, we thought this was the last contract of his Steelers career. Why didn't he, under that impression, I'm sure the team and Omar Khan, everyone had that impression as well. He could have just asked for the pay raise then and there. I know the team requested for him to take a pay cut, but he could have been like, hey, this might be the last contract I got with you guys. You mind if I get a little incentive into the contract based off of stats and awards and whatnot? He could have added that. His agent could have added that. Hayward shouldn't be mad at the Steelers. He should be mad at his agent. Because if Hayward knew he was going to be this upset, why accept it?
Especially if he was planning into having an all-pro season.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't you just have better negotiations last year?
Or he could have just played out the last year of his contract, his previous contract, before he signed this new one. He could have played it out, and if he had an all-pro season, guess what? The Steelers would have to pay up. Because at that point, Hayward has the leverage. It's either you pay up or I leave. But they had him under contract right before week one last year, and they were under the impression, this is it for you. This is your last contract. You're going to honor it. And here he is not, which is very uncaptain of him. It's not very leadership of Cam Hayward.
Quite dishonoring to the Steelers front office, really. And when it comes to Omar Khan, he don't care who you are whatsoever.
He traded Minka. He traded Minka. And Minka, for a couple years, was a god to us. Maybe not the past couple years. I don't think that's all entirely his fault, but he traded even Minka. Like, he's not afraid to trade anybody.
No. Like when he first took over, there's only a handful of players when he first took over that is still sticking around. I want to say there's a little over more than 10.
Based off of Kevin Colbert's team?
Yes.
There's Watt. There's Highsmith. There's Loudermilk.
How? I don't know.
There's
Muth.
Is there anyone else? Frankly, is there anyone else?
There might be more. Those are just
obviously
guys that
Hayward.
Come off top of my
obviously,
head.
Hayward, yeah. Obviously, Hayward.
But it goes to show, Khan is not afraid to move you around, to get rid of you. Because if you don't want to be here, like Kenny Pickett, if you don't want to be here, get the hell out. Either you want to be a Pittsburgh Steeler or you don't. And what's Tomlin's usual statement? We want volunteers, not hostages?
Yeah. So if it comes down to a situation where he misses games and the Steelers do trade him, I don't know. I don't honestly think any of that happens. But I could be wrong.
Now, I did not think that this would drag this far till almost game time, almost game day versus the Jets. But if it ever gets to a point that Hayward does miss games and they can't rework a deal, they can't get a deal done, I'm not opposed to trading away Hayward. I'm not.
No, me neither.
Because, I mean, you see the future investment with the defensive line. You've already drafted Benton 2 years ago. You drafted Harmon in the first round to be your ideal guy for the future. And, of course, Y.A. Black, who's just been a stud all summer.
And will be a starter come Sunday versus the Jets. There'll be a rotation, but I would imagine Y.A. Black would be the starter.
So you already see the vision. You already see, you know, who are going to be the group of guys to really take over whenever Hayward's actually done in his career.
It's just, it might be a situation where the Steelers are going to have to force that faster than they anticipated. Much like Mason McCormick last year. I don't know if the Steelers had any envision in Mason McCormick starting, but because James Daniels got hurt and Spencer Anderson didn't pan out, they had to put McCormick out there. And, of course, Nate Herbig got hurt, so they had to throw him out there.
But you know what? McCormick, man, he held his own.
He did.
And now he's a starter.
And I like how young, I like the core that we have there that are ideally the future. You got Harmon and Benton as the three techs and Black playing the nose, or he can also play three tech if needed be. Which he'll probably see a ton of that time against the right guard for the Jets this upcoming Sunday, where that's Joe Tippmann, where that's Josh Myers, where that's Xavier Newman. Because Elijah Vera Tucker is hurt and is out for the year.
Torn tricep, he's going to get surgery, which is unfortunate.
But they have the bodies now. They don't have Harmon this Sunday, but for the future, they have the bodies, they have the plan. They've invested in the line a lot, and that's why they're trying to build for life after Hayward. That just might have to be more immediate than we anticipated. That might come to, I don't know how soon it might be, but it could be the first couple weeks of the season. I'm not saying the Steelers are going to trade Hayward. This is just my personal opinion. If he misses games, I think they should trade him. Because if he's going to miss games and the Steelers are not going to budge, you might as well trade him and get something out of him if you already know he's going to miss games. If Omar Khan is going to put his foot down and has a firm grip that he's not going to budge, he's not going to crack for Cam Hayward, and you know he's going to miss games, get something out of him. You might as well.
Better than nothing. This situation, man,
it sucked because
it's stupid. Stupid situation.
Hayward's had such a great career, and I don't know if it's going to come to an end, but it sucks that it's coming to this. And if it does eventually come to an end, an abrupt end, Hayward has no one to blame but himself. I get what he's saying. I get what he's trying to do. I understand his side of things. The thing is, we're about to start the season here. You signed the contract last year.
We're trying to start a journey, the stairway to seven once again. This time, like, they are for real trying. They're for real all in. All the additions showcase that.
Believe it or not, yes, that is their mission. For a guy like Cam Hayward, and here he is, might not even play week one. So frankly, Cam Hayward, listen, appreciate everything, but if it comes to an end, adios, amigo. I hate to say that because he's been such a leader and a captain, but right now he's not acting like one.
I hope it doesn't get to that point. I hope he just shows up and plays. He's out there practicing just so that he's ready. Bro, just be ready, dude. Just go out there and play.
I agree.
Fulfill your contract. Fulfill to what you agreed with last year with the Steelers.
It's like...
Why you are a captain, dude.
I look back at James Harrison, right? And shout out to Harrison. He actually started a podcast with
Joe Hayden.
It's called Debo and Joe. Y'all should go subscribe because they're great. I've seen a couple of their early videos. They're great. Reminds me of James Harrison towards the tail end. In 2017, they drafted TJ Watt and wanted to play him and Bud over Harrison. And Debo, he's like, okay, I get it. In his mind, he thought these young cats aren't better than me yet, but I get what you're trying to do. Debo wanted to play. And they kept saying, okay, well, we're going to give you playing time. We got something in mind for you. They never did. So Debo was like, bro, just I want out. And a lot of people, a lot of fans, you know, looked at Debo in disgust because he wanted out. Well, first of all, he signed with the Bengals in 2013, retired, came back, had another couple years. And then in 2017, he wanted out. He got out and signed with the Patriots of all teams, went to the Super Bowl, lost. But even still, people looked at Harrison in that regard and gave him a lot of disgust. I'm getting the same vibes with Cam Hayward. Now, I've forgiven Debo. I've forgiven Debo because I understand where he's coming from. At his age, he still thinks he can play. Let him play. The Steelers didn't do it. He wanted to play. He went to play elsewhere. So I forgave Debo. I understood Debo's situation at that moment. Hayward, though? We've got two words for you. Hayward, man, it's just... I'm getting the same feeling here where a lot of fans are going to turn on Hayward. I don't want to make it sound like they're turning on him. It's just they're going to view him differently than they did prior.
Many people, including us right here, I mean, we're just fed up with the situation.
And you also look at, I don't know if he's ever going to win the fans back, even if he does play, right? Let's say he signs a contract or he doesn't sign a contract but still plays. I don't know if teams are going to, I don't know if fans are going to still look at him the same. You know, either way, it seems like he's tarnishing his Steeler legacy, and it sucks. It really sucks to see that. Shout out to Isaiah in the chat with 499. So let me get this straight. He goes at A-Rod for taking months to sign here just for him to turn around and do this.
Exactly.
Either you want to be a Pittsburgh Steeler or you don't. It's that simple. It is that simple. What are you doing? Do you want to play or do you not? What happened to the $130 million you made over your career? I know you're not broke. Your family's fine.
Just get out there and suit up, Hayward. Get out there and play. Get out there and ball, dude. Get out there and represent this team.
It sucks because...
Be a captain.
You know, I didn't think we'd start off the podcast this way. I didn't think we'd start off week one this way, but here we are, man. Here we are.
It's drama that is just not necessary.
No.
Boswell's not even doing this shit.
No, Boswell has 2 years, like Hayward, 2 years under his contract left. He secretly, not secret no more, talked to the Steelers about an extension. You don't see Chris Boswell not playing.
No, Boswell suited up in preseason games and kicked some extra points. Boswell's out there and playing, trying to earn that extra contract, earn that pay raise. Hayward, you could argue he's earned it. But there's a difference, bro. You're 36 years old.
They're not going to pay you $20, $25 million. Now, they might. They might cave in. Omar Khan might pay him. I just don't think it's, you know, in the Steelers' mindset that they're going to pay a 36-year-old $20, $25 million a year to play for how many more
years? It's not a smart business decision. If there's one thing that Omar Khan knows well how to do, it's business. Like, come on, dude. This is a cap wizard before he was the GM. He's not going to throw all this money at a 36-year-old defensive lineman who can still play at a high level, but at the same time, he said himself, he's not going to stay here forever. He can't play here forever. His time's dwindling.
So why should the Steelers cough it up? Is he still playing at a great level? Is he still playing at a potentially elite level like last year? He had a first-team All-Pro last year. Yeah, I get it. But how many more of those are we going to get out of Hayward? How much longer is he going to stay? Is it going to be like Calais Campbell where he plays till he's 40?
I don't know.
I don't envision him staying farther than what his current contract is, which is just 2 more years, this year and next year.
Again, I can't stress this enough. I'm appreciative of everything Cam Hayward does. I love Cam Hayward. I got the man's jersey.
Yeah.
But I am disappointed in this entire situation on how he's handled it from last year with his contract extension to what he signed to just where we're at now. Less than 48 hours away from the Jets game.
Jay, we don't know what Hayward's asking for. All he says is he wants a pay raise. We don't know how much. That's between him and the Steelers to talk about. And they have talked about, and there's been no progress whatsoever. We don't know what he's asking for. But he wants a pay raise so he can have a good financial situation when he's done playing. He wants the rest of his contract to be jumped with a nice price tag. That way, when he's done, him and his family are sitting pretty.
If you're not down with that, we've got two words for
Isaiah with a 199, man. Boz earned his money. He'd be scoring most of our points. Yeah, he got 41 made field goals last year. 41. That's more field goals than the Steelers offense scored touchdowns.
Total. The Steelers had 35 total touchdowns. If there's anybody that's next in line for a contract extension, as far as the Steelers go, Boswell's first in line.
I agree.
Sorry, Hayward, not you.
No.
It's Boz. That's the Hayward situation.
I don't want to make it sound like we're turning on Hayward. I know it sounds like it, but, bro, you turned on the franchise. You turned on the fans, bro. You turned on them when the game is about to happen. It sure sounds like he's going to sit out if he doesn't get a contract. That's what it sounds like to me. What he said and how it came off, it's like, okay, if they pay me, I'm playing. I'm preparing as if I'm playing, and if there's still time to pay me between now and then, if they pay me, I'm playing. But if not, it sure as hell sounds like he won't play.
I guess we'll find out come Sunday afternoon before game time if he'll be a healthy scratch. If he even travels with the team at that.
And in that case, we will see Keanu Benton, Y.A. Black, and I would imagine Isaiah Loudermilk as your starting defensive lineman. I like Benton. I like Y.A. Black. Loudermilk I could go without, but they've kept him. Out of all the Kevin Colbert guys that he selected, or the mid-round guys, he's lasted the longest, and I'm sure we're going to see him a ton. Whether Hayward plays or not, Loudermilk's going to see time over at that 3-tech spot alongside Black. And probably a Tomway, who's a third stringer. That's the Steelers' idea for filling in for Derek Carmen. As Derek Carmen is officially out, he will not play this Sunday versus the Jets. So their vision is almost like a committee of people. There'll be a rotation. So we'll see probably Y.A. Black get the start. And then we'll see Loudermilk and maybe a Tomway along in there. Maybe even Logan Lee potentially. We're going to see a rotation of folks. But mostly, and most excitingly, Y.A. Black is probably going to start opposite if Hayward plays. If not, you're putting Benton over at, I would hope, 3-tech. If not, then he's probably going to play the nose, which I think is a disservice to him and the entire defensive line. I'm hoping, either way, the Steelers are prepared. Because let's get into the game finally. Let's finally get into this game, man. The Jets. The New York Jets. Man, how about the Jets? The goddamn Jets, right? Swear jar.
Yeah. The Jets. Well, they got a new regime. They got a whole new everything. A fresh coat of paint over there in New Jersey.
They got a whole new general manager. They got a whole new head coach. Whole new offensive coordinator. Whole new defensive coordinator. Whole new quarterback.
Whole shebang. Whole new thing over for the Jets.
A clean sweep over from last year. Justin Fields, man. We know about Justin Fields. He was our week one starter last year. He started the first six games for us.
Yes, he did.
Justin Fields, man. You know, I ain't gonna lie. In the offseason, I wanted us to bring Fields back. I
was right there with you. He was the guy that we wanted the Steelers to bring back. When it came to quarterback options, which were not great out there, Fields was the number one guy on our list. Ultimately, he didn't stay. He's opted to sign with the Jets on a 2-year, $40 million deal, and now he gets to try to revive his career or really prove his worth over there with the Jets.
Yes, he does. Now, he's not exactly getting the best surround system. He has Garrett Wilson. He has Breece Hall, which are great weapons on any given Sunday. His number two, Alan Lazard.
Or Josh Reynolds is listed as the number two.
Josh Reynolds?
That Josh Reynolds, yeah, former Ram and Lion.
They're very identical receivers, where at this stage of their career, they're more threes and fours and solid backups with starting experience. To be pure starters alongside Garrett Wilson, the Jets, in my opinion, aren't doing Justin Fields any favors in that regard. Plus, you look at his line. You know, Fashanu, first rounder last year out of Penn State, he's playing left tackle. Now, he dealt injuries last year, but he's healthy. He'll be playing left tackle. They have another first-round tackle, very much like the Steelers with their back-to-back first-round tackles. The Jets did the same thing. Last year was Fashanu. This year was Membo.
Yeah, rookie. Ron Membo. Rookie at right tackle. Like, when you look at the O-line, it's got a lot of pedigree to it.
It does.
A lot of investment, a lot of pedigree, a lot of upside there. You know, name-wise, on paper, it's a very solid offensive line. You look at the tackles, you see what they're doing. They got a solid veteran guard in John Simpson.
He is very solid.
And you have Joe Tippmann at center, who's very good, second-round center. You know, the when it comes to the Jets O-line and the Steelers, it's somewhat similar, you know, to what they're experimenting, what they're trying to do, get some young, get some veteranship in there and just
a lot of investment, a lot of capital the last number of years. Even Elijah Vera Tucker was a former first-rounder several years ago.
And a very good guard when he's healthy.
But the problem is, yeah, when he's healthy. He tore his pec. He tore his
tricep.
Or his tricep, rather. He tore his tricep on the other arm a couple years ago. This year, he tore it on the other arm, the opposite arm, and he'll be out all season. So thus, they could move Tippmann over to guard and put Josh Myers, former Ohio State Buckeye center, over at center.
Former center of Aaron Rodgers, by the way, in Green Bay.
Yeah, or they could have Xavier Newman at right guard, who saw a lot of starting time when Vera Tucker hurt his other tricep.
Yeah.
Either way, I kind of like the odds for the Steelers because you're telling me you got two very young offensive tackles facing T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith, and Nick Herbig is questionable. So I'm thinking Nick Herbig will play, but even still, Membo in his first career start going up against T.J. Watt. Alex Highsmith is fully healthy. He was not on the injury report all week. So that
groin fully healed.
It is. He's going up against Fashanu. Fashanu was great coming out of Penn State, but Alex Highsmith, man, when he's healthy, we know what he can do. We know how he can collapse that pocket. And then you got maybe Cam Hayward. I don't know. But Keanu Benton and Y.A. Black confidently playing for sure. I like the potential there. Keanu Benton has always been a great pass rusher. He's got some pass rush upside. He doesn't get enough playing time. Hopefully that changes this Sunday if Hayward plays or not.
Especially if Hayward doesn't play or not. But, I mean, Benton, he just knows how to push an offensive lineman back. He knows how to get pressure. Thing about him is he doesn't exactly finish the plays. That's one of the things that he's going to have to really work up on, especially throughout the season.
Yep.
As he's probably going to be leaned on a lot, potentially this season, depending on this Hayward situation. But Ben's still a good player. And that's still a very very fun matchup with the trenches, with the Jets offensive line, even with Vera Tucker out there. They'll probably, you know, move. I would assume they move Tippmann over the right guard because he had some experience at right guard in his rookie season 2 years ago and just go with Myers because he's starter caliber to a degree.
Yeah.
But, you know, you look at the matchup, even with Y.A. Black in there, I mean, I look forward to seeing what Y.A. Black can do to fill in for Harmon.
Oh, me too.
That's a big body.
By the way, he switched his jersey number from 78 to 94.
You know, 78, you know, I thought he rocked the number well. He still looks like an old-school Steelers defensive lineman. The 78 really made it look old-school-esque. which I'm a fan of, but 94 is a great number for
him. Shout out to Dwight White, the legendary 78 in the steel curtain defense. But yeah, 94. Every time I see that number, I get visions, flashbacks of Lawrence Timmons. Shout out to Timmons.
LT, man. Gotta love him.
But the last 94 on the line, as far as my recollection, was Tyson Alualu, and he stepped in solid when they lost Hargrave. Now, that's going to be Wyatt Black sporting that number, which I think is better than 78. 94 just fits well along that line. And a big guy like him, I'm very curious to see what his impact's going to be immediately. You know, being a fifth rounder at Iowa, I didn't think he'd get immediate playing time, but, you know, things happen. Things happen.
I mean, he's already the backup defensive end on the official depth chart.
See, that's the thing. Defensive end. He's going to play the three tech. I thought he would have been the nose primarily. Seems like his versatility is really paying off, and he had a great game versus the Panthers in the preseason.
He had a great summer overall.
He's just a powerful dude. He's a big guy. He's very hard to keep still. He's someone that's just going to move around. He's someone that's going to get inside that pocket. He's got a great bull rush. He's got a lot of size and strength to him to his advantage. And then you add in the linebacking core.
Yeah.
Patrick Queen, Peyton Wilson, Cole Holcomb as the rotational piece. Jalen Ramsey, right? Getting his first real regular season action as a Steeler in the black and gold, rocking number 5 or at the nickel position.
Mm-hmm.
You got him potentially blitzing. What I want to see from this defense is I want to see a ton of pressure towards Justin Fields' way.
And that's one of the keys I wrote down to victory, defensive keys, is, yeah, you got to pressure Fields.
You got to pressure Fields, and you got to force him to throw the ball, meaning make him come back. Make him try to play hero.
Yeah.
I like Fields, but he's not a fully progressed quarterback, and at this stage of his career, what you see out of Justin Fields is what you're going to get. He can't read a defense, and he'd rather run the ball a lot. He's not really a threatening passer. He has flashes. We've seen it last year. He's got flashes. He's got a solid deep ball. When he's got targets, he can make those plays happen, but he's not consistent, and he doesn't know how to read a defense, and when he's under pressure, he makes mistakes. That's where the Steelers got to attack. This coaching staff of the Steelers is essentially identical to last year, so they know the pros and the cons of Justin Fields in his game. They should know exactly how to attack him.
I mean, Fields is literally right there with you last year. I mean, like, you know every positive, every negative of Justin Fields. There's no way that you don't. So when it comes to Fields, you got to pressure him. The front seven has to apply pressure. They have to get to him. But even, like, when he's pressured, the guy knows how to evade pressure. I mean, we know what he can do with his legs. He's a good scrambler.
Yeah.
He's a good scrambler. He can get out the pocket and, yes, use his legs if need be to get the extra yards and just keep his offense on the field.
Yeah, you're going to have to keep a spy on him. That is for certain.
You need to. Ideally, I would say Peyton Wilson, but if you want to use Patrick Queen as that spy, I mean, both are speedy linebackers, so either one's fine. You got to keep a spy on Fields. You can't let him roam free. If you let him roam free, that's just coaching malpractice. That's just a mistake waiting to happen.
Yeah.
You can't allow that to happen.
Because that's where Fields is most dangerous, as we know, is, you know, using his legs. In fact, most of the touchdowns we scored earlier on into the season, which wasn't in week 1, by the way, was via Justin Fields' legs. So you have to minimize his efforts and his capabilities in that regard. You got to limit his ground attack. You limit that and force him to throw the football. I love the Steelers' chances, and I think that they got the defense to do it. They got most of the bodies. Even if Hayward isn't playing, you got the bodies. You got the blitz packages to do it. It's so stacked that there's no way that you don't get to Fields in this game.
And regarding Fields, another thing about the defensive key to victory I wrote down is turnovers. Now, if you remember Fields back in his days in Chicago, the man could not protect the ball whatsoever.
Yeah.
He was not good. And that was a question mark when he was traded to the Steelers. How is he going to be when it comes to protecting the football? He was actually pretty solid at protecting the football. In 6 starts, he only gave up 2 turnovers. But within those 6 starts, he also had 6 fumbles.
Yeah.
The fumbles has always been a thing about Justin Fields. It's the biggest thing when it comes to his turnover problem. He can't keep a hold of the football. Maybe that's a way that the Steelers can try to kind of cause Fields to crumble under pressure and get less confident and just get paranoid out there, get nervous out there.
But even still, I also want to throw out the fact that this is an entirely new offense. This is an entirely new Jets regime. This is an entirely new Jets, you know, coaching staff. They got Aaron Glenn, who was the Lions defensive coordinator. They got the head coaching job. He brought in the Lions passing game coordinator, Tanner Engstrom, as his offensive coordinator. So we saw what the Lions passing game was like with Jared Goff and all those weapons for several years. Now that he's brought him in, a familiar face, did Aaron Glenn to lead the offense, you also don't want to underestimate what they could throw out there.
No, and Aaron Glenn, I mean, this is his first time coaching. He's coaching the team that brought him into the NFL, that drafted him back in 1994, and he's bringing in a first-time OC.
Yeah.
So, like you know, it's really going to be hard to tell exactly what the Jets are going to bring to the table because there's not really a whole hell of a lot to take in, plus it being week one, the start of the season. There's hardly any tape to really evaluate on and really kind of game plan against, you know. It's just going to be probably one of those moments where you're just going to be out there and just, like, you know, on the fly, like, okay, like, this is how we're going to have to adjust.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
In-game adjustments, absolutely.
And Aaron Glenn, I mean, like, I would anticipate potentially him bringing a little bit of what Dan Campbell brought to Detroit. And he changed Detroit for the better. Look at Detroit.
Yeah.
Can Aaron Glenn do the same thing? I don't know. It might take some time, and this is the Jets that we're talking about, but, you know, like, well, we can... We might see just a glimpse of what Aaron Glenn might bring to the table.
It's gonna be very interesting for the Jets case. I still favor the Steelers defense against the Jets offense, just based off of the fact that we know what Fields can do at this stage. They don't have a number two wide receiver. You look at the Steelers secondary compared to the guys they're going up against. Yeah, we got JPJ up against Garrett Wilson. That should be a good matchup. I'm very interested to see if JPJ can minimize the penalties here. I have no question he can stay sticky in coverage. That's never been an issue with him. The issue has been he's been too grabby. He's been a flag magnet. He's been a, you know, a target for receivers or refs out there based off of what he does. We got to see an improvement from that. You got Darius Slay going up against, I guess, Josh Reynolds or Alan Lazard. You got Ramsey playing the slot. Maybe they bounce Ramsey outside if needed.
Yeah, the usage of Ramsey is going to be something that's going to be intriguing and must see to watch for sure because, you know, they've been using him quite often outside. At safety, even, of course, nickel, you know, like the utilization and the versatility of Ramsey, not just this game, but all season, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, and what we saw, we got a little sneak peek of it versus the Panthers in the preseason. They were blitzing. They weren't afraid to blitz them already.
No.
So I think we should definitely...
quick to do that.
We should jump at any opportunity to do so. Any more blitz packages would be very welcoming. Patrick Queen actually brought that up this week in regards to something the Steelers could be bringing back to the defense, something they could add more to. The defense last year was very low in blitz rate. Patrick Queen himself had a career low in blitz rate. How dare you? Let's change that up. If there's one thing I want to see mostly from this defense is I want to see more blitz packages. I want to see them get aggressive at getting to the quarterback and trying to force some turnovers. That's what I really want to see. I want to get more of the Blitzberg vibe. That's going to help out the defensive line that could very well miss two of the starters. And I think that's still going to be able to stop the run against Breece Hall. Can't forget about Breece Hall.
Well, can't forget about their run game in general because the passing game, especially with Justin Fields' ability as a passing quarterback, it's going to be in question, especially with them not having a true determined number two. We know what Garrett Wilson can do, even with a revolving door of quarterbacks now that he's got Fields. But the running game, I would anticipate that to be their main focus. With not only just Fields' legs, but, I mean, Breece Hall, he has yet to hit 1,000 yards rushing, but he has had 1,000 scrimmage yards the past 2 years since coming back from that bad injury in his rookie season.
Right.
Breece Hall is still an electric back. He's very good. We saw a glimpse of that, you know, just last year, Sunday Night Football, when he had that big reception, when he caught the pass from Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, 59-yard big catch and run.
Like, we know what Breece Hall can bring to the table, but I also don't want to sleep on the backup and the young stud back in Braylon Allen, who's only 21 years old.
Yeah.
And very good in his own right. That running game, that running duo is going to be something that they're going to have to stop.
Right.
And that's obviously going to be one of the biggest focuses for the Steelers.
Now, I don't want to underestimate the Jets offense entirely because they got a ton of new fresh faces. They got a whole new coordinator that could add a lot, right? I'm still pretty confident. Maybe I'm feeling a little overconfident about the Steelers defense in this game. Just with the defense being mostly healthy, and yeah, they could be without Hayward and Harmon for sure. But some about their depth and something about, you know, the playmakers that they've added, it speaks to me that the defense is still going to have a strong performance and a strong game, which brings up the offense. But before we get into the offense, I want to get into the chat and see what you guys are saying, man. Did you guys see George Pickens got a personal foul last night and cost the Cowboys 20 yards? Yes.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not going to miss George Pickens. I'm not going to miss George Pickens.
Did you actually see the footage of some of his reps, or more specifically, his run-blocking reps?
No.
No effort.
Where have we seen that before?
When he's not involved, he gives little effort.
Who could have told you that? Where did we see that before?
I'm not surprised by that.
We got a third rounder out of him. If the Cowboys want to overpay him, feel free.
Well, the Cowboys are off to a bad start, so that third rounder looks very appealing.
Yeah, it does right now. And I know our receiving core doesn't, but, I mean, I'd rather not have that in the locker room. And we don't. So, adios, Pickens. What the hell? TJ Black says, also off topic, let's hope AJ Lee doesn't pull a Cam Hayward and lie to us. God damn it, that's hilarious.
Now, keep in mind, she hasn't said a thing, so she technically didn't lie. She's not supposed to. She didn't lie.
Well, CM Punk might be getting her hopes up.
Punk didn't lie either.
She's going to be back. I'm just hoping it's tonight. It is reported that Cam Hayward did abort the plane today. Really? Okay. Well,
where'd you hear
so.
That?
I would hope so. Well, what's he going to do? Stay in Pittsburgh?
If you're not down with that,
because think of it this way: if they do get a contract done, you know, yeah, of course he's going to abort the plane.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers, I can't read that. With $2, this revenge game will be a challenge.
We've got two words for you.
He said Aaron Rodgers to the Super Bowl.
That's what it is. Yes.
Sterling with 499 says, "I have friends as Cowboys fans, and I warned them about GP, and no one listened." You can't tell Cowboys fans anything. You can't. They're the most delusional fan base in the world. You can't tell them anything. And it's just funny to just sit there and laugh at them. That was a good game last night, though. But yeah, Pickens, man, I don't think anyone's going to miss Pickens. I know I'm not. I don't miss the antics. I don't miss the drama. So, Pickens.
Now, we're getting that drama out of the offense. At least I hope so.
As far as I'm concerned, there's been no drama coming from the offense. So, nope. Yes. Yes, it sounds to be good. That's right. Why a Black did wear 94 at Iowa. New Drews says 94 was his college
number. So it makes sense. It makes sense.
And Jay, yeah, 94 still belongs to the Law Dog. Yeah, I'll give you that. I mean, he was a great 94 for, what, 8 years?
It was a long Steeler career. It was a good one, too.
8-9 years?
He was the anchor for the middle of the front seven there until Shazier came about.
Byron Nelson says the Jets don't have an overall good team. I don't think so either. They got players at certain spots.
They still got some guys, but I mean, I don't want to underestimate them. I don't.
Yeah.
It's the Jets, though. You know what I'm saying?
But then exactly.
Again, that's why I'm trying to give Aaron Glenn a little bit of credit. You know, maybe he changes it, but then again, I don't know.
Well, we don't know. Yeah, it's too early to tell.
It's way too early.
Andre says, Steel Twins, do the Steelers retire the 43? Yes. At some point, Troy Polamalu, number 43, will be retired.
He's got to be the next guy to have it retired, right?
That or 7.
Or Bradshaw. Bradshaw's ain't retired.
Yeah, but it's been how long?
I know. It took how long for Franco, though?
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. Something about Bradshaw. I'm not saying he doesn't appreciate the Steelers, but he's too busy. Let me just put it that way. He's too busy.
Also not the biggest Tomlin fan either.
Obviously not. Two injuries on their O-line going to hinder their run game a bit. Absolutely. I mean, that entire right side is hurt and young. You got T.J. Watt coming along that end. And you got Y.A. Black beside him. Keanu Benton playing the middle or on the against the left guard. I like our odds. I like our odds defensively. Now, we're going to the offense, of course. That might be a different story because there's not much I can expect from the offense because I don't know what to expect.
We didn't see any action from Aaron Rodgers in preseason, and we didn't see any action with him at quarterback with the entire offense in preseason.
No, we didn't even get to see DK in the preseason.
No, not even Jonah Smith.
So that begs the question, and chat, feel free to spot in here. Do you think the offense is going to have a little bit of a bumpy start? Not because it's in their blood to have a bumpy start offensively, but because of the lack of reps in preseason. Do you think that maybe there might be a miscommunication issue? Do you think there might be something wrong with the offense based off of the fact they didn't have those reps? Even if it was just a drive or two, they didn't have those reps in preseason. So could it result in a little bit of a hiccup to start the game?
Yeah, that begs the question, you know, what's the chemistry? You know, how will the communication be in sync.
Right.
Are they going to be in sync with their chemistry, with their communication? How will the play calling be with Arthur Smith, with A-Rod leading the charge of quarterback?
Yeah, that's another thing. Aaron Rodgers, last year was the Jets' starting quarterback. This year, still a starting quarterback going back to MetLife. I'm surprised this game isn't primetime based off of that reason. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, for 2 years as a Jet, opened the season in primetime. I figured this game might have been primetime, but not so likely.
They gave A-Rod enough primetime to gave, start the year. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, DK as his number one receiver, are we going to get more of a passing game? Or are we going to really rely on the run game more so because that's what Arthur Smith is mostly made for? That's his bread and butter. That's what he likes to game plan. But maybe because the Steelers know that they have a quarterback in A-Rod that's been around the league for 21 years and they know he can throw the ball. Maybe not as good as he once was, but maybe he's as good once as he ever was. I don't know. So perhaps with that confidence from the Steelers at the quarterback position, probably for the first time in a while, especially for a guy like Mike Tomlin, are they going to throw the ball more than we might anticipate? We also got to look at it this way. You got DK going up against Sauce Gardner. They have had their battles.
Yes, they have.
They've had their battles. DK has made some plays. Sauce has made some plays.
Yeah, and it's always been a fun watch whenever those guys have went up against each other, and we get to see that again.
Yeah, we've seen that matchup, I think, twice so far in their careers. So this will be the third time. That'll be exciting. Opposite of Sauce Gardner is Brandon Stevens, former Raven corner last year that is not good.
Yeah, so the Jets lost DJ Reed, and that's a huge loss. He went to the Lions in free agency. And their ideal replacement was Brandon Stevens, who is one of the worst starting cornerbacks of last year for the Ravens. So there's a reason he is not in Baltimore no more.
Yeah. Yeah, they'd rather go with injury-prone Jair Alexander than that guy.
Hey, be my guest.
He's not good in coverage. He gives up a lot of big plays, a lot of yardage, and a ton of penalties, does Brandon Stevens. So, yeah, DK's going up against Sauce. It'll be interesting to see what DK can do against that and if A-Rod's going to give him opportunities. DK and A-Rod, all of training camp, all they could do was just try to get that chemistry going. All A-Rod tried to do was throw the ball to DK. That way, that cadence and that chemistry was there. It was growing. That way, come week one, they're in sync. However, going up against Sauce is a tough task. Do I trust DK to do what he has to do and get open and make plays? Yes, because you're getting paid the big bucks to do it. We traded you. And he's traded for you.
He's made those plays in Seattle countless times.
He's done it against Sauce before. But it is going to be a tough matchup. It's iron sharpens iron, essentially. Opposite is Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson.
At least on the depth chart, they have listed Calvin Austin as the second wide receiver.
But he hasn't played all preseason.
He has not played all the preseason due to injury, but he does not have an injury diagnosis in this game, so he should be good to go. But he should be ready for this game.
You also put Roman Wilson saw all his reps outside, so although Calvin is listed as the wide receiver 2 on the depth chart, is he mostly going to see slot time? Is he going to see more reps over Roman Wilson in certain tight end packages and like 12 personnel where we see 2 receivers and 2 tight ends? Is he going to be the opposite outside guy of DK, or is that going to be Roman? Who's going to get more reps?
Who's going to be the more ideal wide receiver 2 for this matchup? What's Roman Wilson's role going to be, you know, right out the gate for week 1?
So that makes me wonder which one of these guys is going to step up. I think Calvin is a very good wide receiver. Is he a 2? No. But he's very trustworthy. Last year, I found myself to be a huge Calvin Austin fan because when he got targets or when he got the ball, I felt good about the offense. I thought, wow, we can actually get something going with this guy.
Good things happen.
Good things happen when Calvin gets the ball. This is going to be a big test for Roman Wilson. This is really his full first game. As long as he stays healthy, this will be his full first game. Real action. Big test for him. I'm very excited for Roman Wilson. I'll be very curious to see what he can do and if A-Rod's going to give him some opportunities. That's another reason I wanted A-Rod to play a little bit of preseason is to get those two specifically going. A-Rod and DK, they were roommates in training camp. He throwed to DK a lot, but I wanted to see some in-game A-Rod to Roman action. We will see it. I just wanted to see it before the regular season, but we're going to see it this upcoming Sunday, and that's going to be a big test for a guy like Roman or Calvin, whoever's going to have to step up in that role. They'll go up against Brandon Stevens and their safeties. I'm not a big fan of their safeties, personally.
No, you're looking at Tony Adams and Andre Sisco as the starting safeties for the Jets.
They're young, but they give up plays in coverage, and frankly, all that defense or all that secondary has is Sauce. But I don't want to sleep on the front 7 either, because the biggest key for the offense to victory here or for success is that line.
That line's got to perform, dude.
And when you talk about that Jets line, bro, you got two first-rounders on the edge. You got Quinnen Williams, former first-rounder in 2019. That's always been a stud and is a huge pass rusher up that middle for him. They got bodies on that defensive line. Plus, they traded for Harrison Phillips, I believe, from the Vikings.
Yep. Yeah, they did.
So they added him, who's been a multi-year starter for the Bills, for the Vikings.
That's a good veteran piece for that front seven, it for is. That D-line, really.
It really kind of fills that hole there, and it almost adds more to not just their pass rush, but especially their run defense. Our line is going to have to be a big contributing factor to this offense, and they're not going to have an easy test. They got Jermaine Johnson, former first-rounder, who's an explosive edge guy.
He's coming off a season-ending injury last year, which sucks, but, I mean, he's still very good, still very young. But he was a first-rounder for a reason.
But he had a good 2023, and although, yeah, he got hurt last year, the Jets still picked up his fifth-year option. So you see the expectations they have for him.
And you can't forget about Will McDonald.
No. Who had a standout last year.
Double-digit sacks last year. Will McDonald is a stud. And that's going to be a big test right there.
Both these edge rushers are studs, man. And they're going up against two first-round tackles and Broderick Jones at left tackle and Troy Fautanu at right. That's going to be a very, very interesting matchup there because that's a huge test for those two guys already. The O-line is going to really going to have to step up in this one. You know, they got Zach Frazier, Mason McCormick going up against a guy like Quinnen Williams. But the tackles mainly are really going to be the guys that are going to have to cornerstone Aaron Rodgers. They're going to have to give him time to do what he can do. And I do think if you give A-Rod time, he can dice something up. Maybe not MVP levels, not what he used to be. I just don't think he has that capable in him. But in terms of letting him read the defense and giving him time to hit his targets, I think A-Rod can still do it to a certain degree where the offense can get down the field at a consistent rate. But you got to give him time. And when it comes to running the ball, Jaylen Warren, this is, believe it or not, this is going to be Jaylen Warren's first career start.
Yep.
He just signed a very well-deserved extension. He's been with the Steelers for 3 years, but because Najee never missed a single game, he never started.
Now he gets that opportunity right here.
This will be his first career start. Kenneth Gainwell is the number two running back, and Caleb Johnson is number three running back, which is interesting. Either way,
I'm not surprised by that. I'm not, because Johnson, he's still adjusting to the NFL speed.
Yeah.
He's a rookie. I'm not surprised by that. Plus, Gainwell's been, he's been around the NFL for quite some time now with Philly. But Arthur Smith did state that, you know, he's planning to get all three involved. How involved? You know, that's yet to be determined.
Well, we saw that last year with Najee Warren and Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah.
Maybe more times in Patterson than we wanted to see, but we got it.
With the tosses.
Especially.
Less tosses, please.
Regardless, Warren will be the starter for this game. He'll see some early action, and I think Caleb Johnson will come in rotations and, you know, maybe try to be at a change of pace. How many carries he gets is going to be very interesting. How specifically they use him will be interesting. Will he be more the short yardage guy? Will he be someone that they give the ball to move the chains? Or will he be a guy that comes in and gets a chunk and then they bring in Warren? I'll be very, very curious to see how they use him, because Warren has been the backup for so many years now, for 3 years, and they've used him as that third down guy, that change of pace. Warren is now the starter, so his role is going to be increased. His role is a little more significant now. How's Caleb Johnson's use going to be? That's going to be interesting. So I'll be very curious to see how they use that in this game, along with how the lines are going to be able to create lanes for the running backs. They're going up against a tough defensive line. They're going up against a tough front seven overall. You can't forget the linebackers. Quincy Williams, Quinion's brother, who has been an all-around great linebacker for the Jets ever since they grabbed him.
Yeah, one of the better linebackers throughout the NFL. Just a speedy guy and just a strong, thumping linebacker who can play ball.
Yeah, he's one of their better run defenders and is very solid in coverage. And so is Jameen Sherwood.
Can't forget about him. You know, he's been, you know, holding it down alongside Williams for some time now.
He actually just got a nice $45 million extension in the offseason. Now, he's only had one good productive year, and that was last year, because he used to be a special teams ace and then built his way up the roster to a starting role, and he broke out last year. But what he did earned him a nice extension.
Now, he filled in the range for C.J. Mosley, who went down with injury, and Mosley, he got released and ended up retiring from the NFL, so Sherwood stepped in and made the most of it.
Sherwood's even a co-captain with Quinnen Williams for that defense.
It's quite the journeyman. It's quite the story.
And he's only 25 years old and can make plays anywhere. So
you can't take anything away from him.
You got both these linebackers that are very good at making plays all over the field. Very confidently for the Jets defense. Very confidently for the new defensive coordinator, which is Steve Wilks, who most recently in the NFL coached up the 49ers defense in 2023 when they went to the Super Bowl.
But got fired after they lost to the Chiefs.
Yes.
But I mean, Wilks has been around the NFL for quite some time. If you guys remember, he was the former Cardinals head coach in 2018, only lasted a year till they cut him, and former Browns DC in 2019.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's no rookie. You know, he's no little puppy there. No, he's an experienced guy.
It's not like Tanner Estring, their offensive coordinator, where he followed Aaron Glenn from Detroit and was the passing game coordinator. He was, you know, an assistant coach, now promoted to a serious offensive role. Steven Wilks has actually had experience playing this position, being that defensive coordinator for several teams in the past. So with that, with what he has at his arsenal in the front seven, again, the line is going to have to be very important in this game to allow guys like A-Rod to make plays, and Jalen Warren and DK is going to have to step up, or someone in the receiving room is going to have to step up. But obviously, don't forget our tight ends. We got three really good receiving tight ends. And Connor Hayward, I guess four. I'll throw him in there to be nice. We got four tight ends, three primarily that we're going to use. How much 12, 13 personnel are we going to run? I'd imagine we're going to run a ton of 12 because you're going to want to have Pat Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith on the field at all times. Or for the most part, you're going to want them.
Well, there's a reason you brought in Jonnu, not just with his chemistry with Arthur, but just his contributions as a pass catcher.
So I anticipate a ton of 12 personnel. We'll see Darnell. He'll get his fair share. He might even get a third of the offensive reps and 13 personnel. But they're going to want as many targets on the field as possible. That's DK. That's Roman. That's Muth. And that's Jonnu. That is what you're looking at as your 12 personnel, along with Warren potentially as a running back. I think we're going to run a ton of that this Sunday. How much success are we going to get? To be determined, but I'm hoping, obviously, enough that we can win. Enough that we can actually score a touchdown in week one of the NFL season, something we didn't do last year.
That would be nice.
That would be very nice.
But it all comes down to communication and how the chemistry is. You know, are they going to be in sync? Are they going to be on point? Because, again, they didn't play any action at all in preseason, the whole starting offense, outside the starting offensive line, outside, say, Amalu.
Yeah.
But how is the communication going to be? Is it going to be a slow start? Is there going to be sloppy chemistry, communication there? I hope to God there isn't, but you know, that's a big question mark heading into Sunday.
Yeah. Cesaro, did I say your name properly in the chat? He says, can we please get Muth in the GD game? Heath Miller, anyone? I mean, he's getting paid this money. We would hope so, right? We would hope we get him in the ground game, definitely.
He can contribute. He's done it before.
How are they going to use Jonnu Smith? Obviously, you know, they'll put him at a tight end spot. They'll put him up the seam. Are they going to put him in the slot? Are they going to bounce him outside? He's a hell of a receiving tight end. You know, you can put him anywhere on the field.
If you remember, Jerry Dulac, when we first made the trade to acquire Jonnu and Ramsey for Minka and some capital.
Yeah.
He mentioned, you know, that Steelers view him as a tight end, slot receiver, and a fullback.
For sure.
So his utilization, I mean, they could really just move Jonnu Smith around as long as he stays healthy and as long as he does contribute. You know, the lack of a wide receiver, too. You know, we're going to see Austin there potentially starting. Roman Wilson involved in there, of course, with his outside reps. But, I mean, like, you know, they do have a plethora of other talent, other targets. One of the reasons why they brought in Jonnu Smith, you know, just to use that versatility and try to utilize the guys to the best of their ability. It's just up to Arthur Smith to really get the plays right and scheme up the right routes and call the right plays for A-Rod to then connect with his targets.
Sure.
To then for them to be on point.
You know, going back to what Jonnu Smith can do, I wouldn't be surprised if we run some like four wide receivers. Like we'll run four targets, three receivers and a tight end.
Yeah.
Or maybe five wide, right? And then we can put Jonnu Smith over anywhere on the field. You want to put him outside? You want to put him in the slot? Just to keep the options out there. If they want to do three receivers, two tight ends with Muth and Jonnu, and then you got Calvin, Roman, and DK all on the field together, A-Rod's got a plethora of choices to choose from.
Just based off what's been stated and how the Steelers view some of their targets, I mean, like, they could really make it, they can make it less predictable for the offense. They can make it unpredictable to a point. They can really have a lot of fun with it. It's just up to Arthur Smith to scheme a solid passing game. I think you said several times, Arthur Smith has never skinned up a top 15 passing game before.
Never. Never with the Titans, never with the Falcons, and obviously never last year. So I'm not going to expect he's going to have much improvement this year, but he's got probably the most stacked tight end room he's had in his entire coaching career. And Aaron Rodgers said he has the best tight end group he's had his entire NFL career.
He's had some good tight ends over his career.
So he's definitely going to get them involved. Because you already know Arthur Smith is going to keep him on the field essentially all the time. And Aaron Rodgers likes his tight ends. He likes to get him involved. He's a big fan of the tight end core this year. So expect a ton of tight end targets for sure. Especially if DK can't get nothing going and Roman can't get nothing going or Calvin can't get nothing going or no one can create separation. Anticipate the tight ends to be used a lot.
And that's just adjusting, you know, within game time, within during the game.
Yeah, I have no idea how this offense is going to function. I don't know how fast they're going to come out. Probably not very fast at all, just based off of history and the fact that there is some uncertainty with their communication and their cadence and their offense based off the fact they didn't see no preseason time together. But I think we can expect them to still use the ground game. I think we can expect a ton of 12 and 13 personnel. And I'm hoping a big game from somebody in that receiving room to step up and give us a little confidence that, you know what, we might be okay where we're at wide receiver.
Yeah.
Because there's no one out there. There's no one out there.
Now, Gabe Davis signed with the Bills practice squad.
The practice squad? Are you serious?
Yeah, the Bills practice squad.
So, yeah, Gabe Davis is not available no more. Anyone in free agency shouldn't even be touched with a 10-foot pole. There's no one out there that's realistically up for trade right now. They need to trade for someone. I don't know when that's going to be, but someone needs to step up in this game. So, keys to victory. I'll give you my three keys to victory. Number one is the young guys must step up. That includes the line on both sides of the ball and somebody in the wide receiver room. And I'm specifically looking at you, Roman Wilson. This is a big test. It's your first real game. You got Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. You got a great matchup against Brandon Stevens. Make plays, man. Go out there and showcase yourself. Use your speed. Use your route running. Let's see what he can do. But not only him, the offensive line has to play really good. They got to give A-Rod time. They got to create lanes. They're going up against a tough front seven. So big test for them. You got everybody where they need to be. You got everybody where they should be. It might take a couple weeks for them to really get comfortable and really gel, but this is already a big test for them, bro. You're going against a young and ferocious front seven right there. Defensive line. Hayward might play, he might not. But we know Harmon isn't. He's out. So you need Keanu Benn and Wyatt Black to step up in that room. Yeah, their line's young. Yeah, their line's hurt. They go up against Justin Fields. Maybe we'll see a ton of blitz packages, but it really starts with that line there and the young cats specifically. So one key to victory is young guys must step up. Number two is the offense has to keep it clean, which means no turnovers and no stupid penalties. I'm looking at you, Broderick.
Yes, please, no flags along the line.
Keep it clean on offense. I also got to mention, yeah, get points on the board because this kind of goes into my last key to victory. Force Fields to throw. Minimize his rushing attack. Get points on the board early and make Fields have to play hero ball. Force him to throw the football. Because when you force Fields to throw the football, then with the defense we have, I like our chances.
Yeah.
Those are my three keys to victory.
I would have to agree.
Keep it clean on offense, force Fields to throw, and young guys must step up. Rob, you got anything to add?
I would say, you know, when it comes to the defense, you know, like I said earlier, you get turnovers. You know, Fields, with it, when it comes to his turnovers, it's still a big question mark as he begins his Jet career. Try to force turnovers. Get some turnovers off of Justin Fields or just around the Jets offense. Get those turnovers, and the offense is going to have to take advantage of them. That goes with the second key to victory. They got to score points. You know, Boswell got us our week one victory against the Falcons last year, but it was just off six field goals. We need scores, and I mean touchdowns. We need to see these players get into the end zone and consistently at that. I'm not expecting a 30-burger. I'm not expecting a high-scoring game, but just if the opportunity comes into play, especially if the Steelers defense gets the turnovers, the offense got to score. They got to take advantage.
For sure.
And, of course, I would have to agree with the offensive line. The line's going to be key all season, but they have to be on a good start. They got to make a great first impression come week one, especially against a great and a stud front seven that the Jets do have.
Yeah.
They got to protect A-Rod. They got to open up lanes and make lanes for the run game for Jaylen Warren, for Caleb Johnson, for Kenneth Gainwell even. Just O-line, do your job. And keep it clean.
Absolutely. I don't have any expectations for this game. I don't. Because I'm really going into it blind and just keeping expectations very low. But what I do expect from both teams in this game is I do expect this to be low scoring, and I expect this to be very highly defensive. I don't think we're going to go for turnover, but I don't know if any of these offenses can really get anything going to start off. Because you look at, well, one, their lines are very similar. The Jets are more hurt than ours, but they got a lot of young guys on that line. The tackles are very similar when you look at the Steelers and the Ravens. When the Ravens, the Jets. You got two back-to-back first-round tackles at each tackle spot. They're very similar. It's very young overall. And then the receiving group is essentially identical. You got a bona fide one and DK, and for the Jets, Garrett Wilson. Otherwise, opposite of them, good luck. Good luck.
Yeah, really.
Good luck. And then the run game, maybe they can get something going in the run game. One thing's for sure is I expect this to be low scoring, but I still don't want to sleep on a guy like Breece. I definitely don't want to underestimate Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson he got paid for a reason. He's had 1,000 yards every single year since being drafted by the Jets with how many different quarterbacks?
A lot of bad ones. Now he's got Fields,
which isn't greater, but it's something for him, I guess. There's definitely chemistry there. That's another thing I want to add. There is that chemistry from Ohio State. They were teammates.
It's there. And keep in mind, when Fields last year in Chicago, DJ Moore did go over 1,000 yards. And I think that was Moore's first year as a Bear, too.
Yeah.
So, like Fields is capable of getting that chemistry going with the number one target.
And he has a new offensive coordinator. So, don't want to underestimate anything. I think we win. I think we win solid. I don't want to say confidently, because a confident Steelers win in this day and age, in this market, in this budget, I don't know.
And I want to say this right now. Depending on how this game goes, win or lose, I'm not going to judge a team off week one. You can't.
But I do think we win, and I do think we have a solid victory. I don't see how we lose this game. So I'm going to say, yes, the Steelers win. If you want a score prediction, boldly 22-14.
20-14 Steelers.
20-13.
20-13.
If anything, the Jets get one score and the rest are field goals.
Okay. All right.
That's my score prediction. If you guys care, or if you guys want
to. I'm not the best at predictions, but I'll throw one out there since you did one as well. I'll say 21-14. Okay. I think we win by one score.
Somber in the chat says, I'm going to give the offense two drives before I start yelling at my screen. You know what? I think that's giving him too much credit. How many drives are you willing to give the Steelers offense before you throw the TV out the window? Or you, I don't know, smash a beer can, or you punt somebody in the face.
Or you put a
coin in the swear jar.
Or you throw a hat.
Or I switch hats. I'm going to have an arsenal over here somewhere. I'll have like 5 different hats. I'm prepared.
You have one for every drive. And then whichever one we score on, that's the one you keep on.
That's the one I keep on. And then we don't score on the following drive wearing that same hat, I got to switch it again.
Yeah.
Or I got to switch jerseys. Or I got to, I don't know, something.
You want to switch your Mason Rudolph jersey?
Maybe.
I made a promise, dude. I plan on fulfilling it. All 18 weeks.
Okay, I'll give you credit there. Isaac says, Jonu had something like the second most yards after contact for tight ends last year. He'll probably mostly get 5 15-yard passes and work upfield on his feet. Well, we got the tight end to do it, so hell yeah. I don't trust Muth to do it. He's made plays like it before. He's just not consistent. So, yeah, if you want to do the little checkdowns with Jonu and expect someone to get up the field, that's who you give the ball to. First touchdown of the season is going to be Washington, says Eric. Eric Gruser. Well, he was our first touchdown last year in week 2. Maybe he's our first one again.
That he was.
I'll mention, man, Aaron Rodgers is really highly of this tight end core, and especially Washington. Can we get more of him in the red zone, please? Like, if there's a time for you to run 13 personnel, it is in the red zone. If there's a time to use Darnell Washington, it is in the red zone. That dude is 6'7", damn near 300 pounds. I don't know if he's actually 300, but I wouldn't be surprised. He's enormous. Use him.
He's please. A big dude.
Please use him. Please
that
use
him. That is sheer size, that tight end, man. That is just unheard of nowadays, and we have him. So utilize it. And he showcased that in the preseason.
Cesaro says, no, And he puts the cuss emoji. No toss sweeps. Yeah, no tosses. We're done here. No tosses, please. And if you're going to do it, use it with, I don't know, Jalen Warren. Someone that's got speed and burst and can get up the field. That'd be nice.
Ideally.
Somber says 7 red zone touchdowns for Mount Washington. That'd be nice. At the end of the season, that'd be great. That could be like our goal line guy. That could be our tush push, right? Now the Eagles got the tush push at the goal line or at any, you know, fourth and short, third and short situation. Well, our red zone guy is Mount Washington. Who the hell is going to guard a 6'7" tight end? It's going to have to be like when Calvin Austin had 2 corners on him. Calvin Johnson had two corners on him.
Yeah.
Bro, who's going to guard the guy?
Let's get him involved. Not many people that probably can.
By the way, I still put out the idea that we should definitely steal the tush push, but put Mount Washington under center.
Yeah, good luck stopping that.
Who's stopping that?
You're not stopping that.
First of all, you're going to get in based off his length alone, and then you got his big frame and his body. Bro, come on. This is the first preseason game for the Stars. It's most likely going to look nasty at first before it gets going, says Jay. I agree.
I don't expect it to be perfect.
I promise I won't.
It won't be shiny. I mean, this is a new offense. It won't be shiny off the bat.
I promise I won't overreact. Don't worry.
Unless a flag is thrown.
David says, Cam just said he got great contract advice from Le'Veon Bell and advice from AB on how to end a Steeler career. Seems like how it's going, isn't it?
Man.
Le'Veon Bell in that Sports Illustrated interview. I won. No, you didn't. What'd you win?
At least with Bell, he acknowledged he was wrong, and he apologized.
I forgive Bell.
I've forgiven Bell.
That was a blessing for us.
It was.
2 years, bro. That was a blessing. I'm glad he didn't take that contract twice. Love Bell, but yeah.
That would have handicapped us.
God, yeah. Yeah.
And then AB, I mean, AB's just AB.
AB's a sad end, man. AB is the most talented receiver I've had the pleasure of watching live. I was too young to see Randy. I was too young to see TL. I've seen everything of AB. His 2013 to 2018 run is legendary and will never be replicated.
It will never be touched.
The shit he did, multi-year 100-yard reception seasons, multi-year 1,300-something seasons.
Touchdowns. Out the wazoo.
Down 15 touchdowns in the last year. We didn't make the playoffs that year, by the way. It'll never be done again.
No.
It sucks how it ended, but it had to end. Fields can't win as a quarterback. As an athlete, perhaps. If he stays in the pocket, he lays in the pocket. That's how you beat Fields. That's how you beat the Jets offense.
Keep him trapped. Trap him in there, dude.
Force him to throw the ball.
Trap him in there.
How long until the first jet sweep? Mark, I like that. I like that.
How long?
By the way, I did put a poll in the chat. Who scores the first touchdown of the season? 43% said DK. A close 40% said Warren.
Get another poll in there?
Yeah. In fact, I'm probably going to put this in the Sunday game as well, just to have some fun. Okay. New poll. Shout out to Mark for the suggestion. How long until Artie runs a toss play?
Oh, now you're calling him Artie.
1 quarter, 2 drives, 2 plays, or the first play?
Get your votes in.
Swear to God if it's the first play.
Get your votes in.
Man, aren't we excited Steelers football back? We're already stressing over what the Steelers are going to do to make fuck-ups and mistakes. Swear jar.
Yeah, especially with Artie there still as OC. I'm still not hopeful of Arthur Smith as OC.
See, you just know. You know Steelers football is back when you're already fearing when they're going to mess things up. When they're going to make dumb coaching decisions. Jay says Peyton Wilson really needs to step up this game. Absolutely. I'm excited for him and his future.
It's his time to shine, dude.
Big game for him. You know, even if Hayward don't play, he's going to have to be a big contributing factor of that run game. You know, if they're going to blitz any linebacker, it's going to be Patrick Queen. And then Wilson will play coverage guy, and then he'll be a big contributing factor to the running defense.
Yeah.
Peyton Wilson's going to have a game on Sunday. He's going to have a lot to do. That's for sure. He's going to have a ton of focus coming his way.
Considering he bulked up, he put on 10 pounds of muscle.
A muscle?
He's what? What I say? He's like, what, 245 now?
We've got two words for
Mason with a 199 says, hey, babies, ready for this weekend? Been waiting. Yeah, I've been waiting, too. I can't wait to...
Right around the corner, man.
I can't wait to spaz out, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
That's Steelers football for you. The Washington Cavalry push. I like it. We'll call it the WCP. That doesn't roll off the tongue at all. That's terrible.
No, it doesn't.
How about the WTP? Washington Tush Push.
Be like Great Khali and Longest Yard.
Yeah, for sure.
Jesus.
I'm yelling that Matt Canada is secretly calling the plays during the first drive. Wherever Matt Canada is, I hope he is having the worst day of his life. I will forever dislike that man for his professional career. He might be a nice guy off the field. He might be a solid human being wherever he's at. But professionally,
as a coach,
I will forever dislike that man.
Yeah, no.
I will forever have hatred for him for just how bad he was and how he remained here for so long.
Yep.
I'm getting the same vibes with Pat Meyer.
That was a bad run.
We're going to keep that thing going. Fire Meyer, that might be the first sign. What's the first sign going to be for the year? We don't have one yet. There's no reason for one yet, but I think it might be Fire Meyer.
Give it time. Give it a month. How about we give it a month?
Well, yeah.
We always give it a month. 4 weeks.
Yeah, let's...
After our bye week.
Okay, let's just try to be positive here, right? Give the offense the benefit of the doubt for the first month. And if nothing changes, then it is okay to freak out. I'm definitely going to freak out after the first drive. I'm just letting you guys know, but I think that's the rational way we should go.
I'll try to stay composed.
I'll be composed.
Enough.
Unless the refs screw us.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Isaac says, I'm hoping to see both the Wilsons do well this game, Peyton and Roman. That'd be great. That would be awesome. I really want Roman to have a good game, man. Like, out of all the young guys that need to step up, I think it's him. Like, we need someone at that receiver room to step up, and they're investing a lot.
Oh, you just get the sense they're going to go with him. They're going to give him that chance. And he's the one guy that they should give a chance on.
Yeah.
Not anybody else. I mean, there's a reason why they didn't pick anybody else up.
Art says they've already made dumb coaching decisions by keeping the staff. I agree. Not a single coaching change whatsoever. Outside of position coaches on the defense. Whoopie-doo.
No, as a matter of fact, our previous linebackers coach, Aaron Curry, he's actually now with the Jets.
Yeah, he's their
linebacker. So we'll be
coach.
Going up against him to a degree. That was one coaching change that we had to fulfill.
And we got the Cowboys' former linebacking coach. I forget his name.
I couldn't tell you right off the bat, but we'll see what he can bring.
I said some things about Matt Canada. I had to go to church and resent my words. Yeah, you had to confess. I get it. Sometimes, you know, it happens that way. I'm sure the good Lord above forgave you. I do. I forgive you, TJ. I understand. How about trade the Hayward brothers? Yeah, if what's his face, Hayward doesn't play, Cam specifically, I say trade him. We did a whole rant probably for the first, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes of this podcast. I might end up clipping that and making it a separate video. Just based off
you
of
should.
Hayward alone.
You should. Why the hell not?
Y'all should get custom Steel Twins name tags or shirts with y'all's name on it. We did have that a couple years ago, but didn't keep it running. Maybe we bring it back. I just don't know. I don't know if there's going to be enough sales. Personally, I just don't know.
Door's always open, though.
Door's always open for merchandise.
Yep.
In fact, don't we still have a couple upstairs somewhere?
I do have a hoodie.
Maybe that's part of a giveaway we do later.
I do have a hoodie, yeah. That's actually not a bad idea.
Maybe we do some, you know, what's the word? Unreleased or like, you know, I'll get them now because you can never get them again or things you can never get because, you know, they're not for sale.
Limited edition.
There you
yeah.
Go. Yeah. Yeah. See, I'm glad you're here. You're the marketing guy.
I try.
Put it on auction. nobody is trading for a 36-year-old Cam. A contender will that needs a defensive lineman. You tell me the Bills wouldn't trade for him?
Or the Lions at that?
The Lions would absolutely trade for him.
Yeah. A contending team absolutely would trade for him. The Commanders absolutely.
The Commanders would 100% trade for Cam Hayward. What about TJ Watt getting the Steelers' first touchdown Sunday? I like that, Andre. I like that we're keeping it very... open to anything. Who knows? Maybe our first touchdown is a Jalen Ramsey pick six. Maybe it's a Juan Thornhill fumble recovery touchdown.
As a matter of fact.
Maybe it's a blocked punt by Connor Hayward recovered by my guy Scotty Too Hottie in the end zone.
Maybe. Who knows?
TJ Watt pick six? Hey. He drops back in coverage. He knows what he can do. Justin Fields don't know what he's doing. So, yeah, we could definitely see it. Only touchdown on Sunday? Okay. All right, you know what? Yeah, I mean, this will probably be a poll for Sunday. How many touchdowns do the Steelers score? Zero, one, or two? Two's the max. I'm not going higher than two. TJ, no, I did not. Is that on Twitter, potentially? Let me check Twitter. I haven't checked Twitter in a while. I didn't see it. I didn't see it, TJ.
No.
Oh, in the chat? No. Where's that at? I'm so mad at Hayward. I traded him in Madden. I got first and second round for him, and I didn't feel bad. Yeah, you shouldn't feel bad. It's Madden. You shouldn't feel bad, man. I've done that before, actually. I think I did that with AB when he did all his shenanigans. I actually sold my Steelers AB jerseys for $20. Two jerseys, $20.
On eBay.
I wanted to get rid of them. I didn't burn them because I don't think burning jerseys is the way to go. I hate when people do that. Oh, I'm going to burn your jersey. No, no. Don't burn the jersey, you Nimrod. Don't burn it. Give it to someone that needs it.
Yeah, after Parsons got traded, people were burning. Cowboys fans were burning their Michael Parsons jerseys. I'm just like,
bro, I put it for the lowest price I would take because I didn't want it no more. I didn't want him at all. I want to get rid of it. I was upset. He was one of my favorite players, and I guess you can say he broke my heart. I was a teenager. I wanted to get rid of it.
He broke your heart.
I wanted to get rid of it. What is the over-under for JPJ getting holding penalties?
All year?
No, in this game.
Oh, two. I'm about three. To say, wait a minute. Two.
Oreo Orgasm says three. Three holders.
Three? All right.
I was so close to getting a Hayward jersey before he started all this. I have a Hayward jersey.
I think the kind I have is I want to say it's a throwback Hayward jersey.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I think it is. Yeah, I haven't worn it.
We had to get it in Pittsburgh because for some reason we couldn't find it online.
That's right. Yeah.
We got it at
right.
the Steelers Pro Shop in Heinz Field.
That's right.
Yeah. I'll probably never wear it again.
Chris
Boswell about to be our number one weapon on offense. And then he should get paid the highest paid contract for a kicker ever. And then some. I'm being honest. I'm being 100% honest. You see Micah Parsons, bro. He's getting paid $6 million more than TJ Watt. Well, I guess Chris Boswell can get $6 million more, seeing that he makes six field goals in games every fucking...
Swear jar. You're already starting.
It's the Steelers season, bro.
I know.
It's the Steelers season.
Football's not even on yet. We still got an hour and a half till the game.
Give Boswell a contract that no one can top.
Chris Boswell deserves a contract. With the Steelers.
Yes.
He's earned that.
What pisses me off is Hayward had all offseason pulled this shit weeks before the season. That's why I feel ruthless. Well, yeah, I mean, Hayward did say he went to the Steelers last year, agreed to the pay cut, and said, okay, but when I have an all-pro season, I'm coming back for a new deal. And the Steelers laughed at him. They chuckled a little bit. He took that as disrespect. But bro, I mean, you could have just...
Oh, he's been in negotiations, according to him.
Since February. And the Steelers haven't budged.
So it's like, kind of...
If they wanted...
Get the point, Hayward.
If he wanted the deal that he knew he was going to want the year after, he should just ask for it the year prior.
I mean, how long is it going to take for Hayward to get the point? Like, listen, we gave you a contract, you agreed to it, that's that.
Play it out, bro. Just play it out. Play it out. He should definitely show up in MetLife Stadium with his current contract and play out the rest of the season. Will I feel better about him? No. No, I won't. Because for him to even do, it's the principle of the matter. It's not like he says he's going to threaten to do this and doesn't do it and everything's right in the world. It's the principle of the matter. So even if he does play, I'm still going to feel a little resentment towards him because, bro, you tarnished something now.
Yeah.
It sucks, but don't turn your back on the team. Don't turn your back on the franchise after everything.
To be a Steeler is to consider others before you consider yourself. To protect your brother even from himself. To give support at your own expense. And when wearing the black or gold suit of armor, make sure nobody desecrates it, disrespects it. Most importantly, we ourselves don't dishonor it. That video needs to be in the locker room every fucking day.
Art Rooney the second, somebody should have that on repeat until it is bled into their mind to the point that they're singing it. Remember Walking Dead, Daryl, when he was in that little chamber, Easy Street, and it was just playing over and over? They need to do that with Troy's Hall of Fame speech.
Fire song, by the way. Wasn't that your ringtone?
It was my ringtone for a while.
God, that made you hate it, didn't it? Just like Daryl.
Are you streaming Chiefs games? No, I'm not. In fact, we're going to get off pretty shortly because I'm going to go eat dinner. I'm going to go relax. And then I'm going to go watch the Chiefs and Chargers game.
In Brazil.
And I'm going to go see AJ Lee hopefully return to Chicago tonight for SmackDown because I don't want to miss that.
It's going to be a lit night.
It's going to be a great night. It's going to be a great weekend, man. Keep in mind, we still got four more days of football, folks. Last night, we had the Cowboys and the Eagles. Tonight, we got the Chiefs and the Chargers. We got college football tomorrow. We got all of week one Sunday action. And then Monday night football. This weekend's already starting off great, man.
Hell yeah, bro.
What is the over-under before the Fire Tomlin sign is displayed? Whatever you guys want it to be. Whatever you guys
want
it to be.
Maybe we'll see how this season pans out before we consider putting it back up.
What did Isaac say? Defensive lineman gave up 300 rushing yards in the playoffs and wants more money. That's a good point, too. Yeah. Yeah, the line that he leads gave up 300 yards. And he's like, nah, pay me up. I want more.
I don't get it, man. I don't
get it either.
I don't get it.
I don't understand it. With that being said, I think we're going to call it a stream, man. We thank you guys for a great stream. Thank you guys for the interaction and for tuning in, as always. Much earlier than what we're used to. Hopefully, we can do this a little more often since it's obviously much more convenient. But we thank you guys for tuning in on Twitter, on X, and YouTube simultaneously. That's something we've been doing since the start of preseason, and so far it's running smooth, it's running good. There's been no issues from our end, so as long as that remains the same, we will continue to make that a focus throughout the entirety of the season.
That includes this upcoming Sunday for the Steelers and Jets Week 1 matchup at MetLife Stadium. A-Rod returns to MetLife Stadium to face his former team, while Justin Fields faces his former team, but this time as the Jets' starting quarterback.
Week 1 starters last year. Now swap teams. Should be an exciting game. I can't wait. I'll be very interested to see who steps up, who plays out, how certain things are ran on the defense and for the offense, who gets involved. I'll be very curious for a lot of reasons, man. So with that being said, yeah, I am excited for Sunday. It's Steelers football. I'm sure it's going to be stressful Steelers football, but I'm still excited regardless.
Week one, man.
It's week one. You guys already know we'll be live for it, so we'll see you guys then. Other than that, you guys enjoy the rest of your night. You guys enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll see you Sunday for the Steelers versus Jets live reaction and maybe even potentially the Bills and Ravens. I don't know. We've talked about it. There's a chance we might go live for Sunday Night Football with the AFC North War Room. It's been a while since we've done one, and it's MVP versus MVP.